The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. TIAA makes you a retirement promise, a promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
Hey everyone, and welcome to our throwback episode. In our throwback episodes, we are reintroducing you to some of our most popular episodes. This is great for new listeners who want to learn more about the work we've done in the past, and it's a great refresher if you've been a listener for a long time. Enjoy.
Jordan, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So how about we get started by telling the audience a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. I'm a regional president for Fifth Third Bank. In that role, I'm responsible for our commercial, retail, mortgage, and our private bank customers throughout the regions that I serve. The regions include Central Ohio, Southern Ohio, West Virginia, and Eastern Kentucky.
Very nice. And how long have you been in this role?
I've been in this role now about 8 years.
Nice. So that, I'm assuming that means you like it.
Yeah, I do like it. It's a great opportunity for me, and it's a great opportunity for me to get to know the region, to get to help my customers, and get to learn more and just be more relevant in the community. So, which is the part I really enjoy.
Nice. And what steps professionally did you take to get here? Was this always your first choice?
Not exactly. And I didn't know when I first got into banking, I didn't know exactly where my career was going. At one time I thought I wanted to be an accountant. And then later I got the opportunity to, after college and after the military, work for an organization as a department of the U.S. Treasury called the Comptroller of the Currency. That organization is responsible for regulating the banking system, the national banking system. And I got that through a colleague of mine that I went to college with, and he introduced me to that opportunity, and I got into it, and I loved it. And so many years later, I'm at this position.
So in your role now as president, what are your main responsibilities?
Yeah, the two primary things that I focus on and spend most of my time outside of community activity, obviously, is business development. So our business development is focused on middle market commercial clients. By middle market, I mean companies that have revenue between $20 and $500 million. So that's the core focus. The other core focus is really on our high net worth customers. So our high net worth customers are served by our wealth and asset management division. That includes our private bank. That customer typically has $1 million of investable assets. And so that's the customer we go after to be part of our private bank. Many of those customers are owners of some of the businesses or executives of some of the businesses that we bank. So those are the two primary areas that I'm focused, I'd say 90% of my time on.
When you go about into the community and try to build these relationships, what types of strategies do you use?
Well, over the years, obviously banking is very competitive, so we're not the only ones who serve these clients. And Columbus has a rich history of banking, and so all the regions I serve has a rich history of banking and a lot of bank competitors. And then we have non-bank competitors as well. So the strategy that we most often utilize is trying to approach a customer with how can we add value to their business? So how can we find ways to enhance their business? How can we find ways to help them grow their business? How can we find ways to improve the cash flow in their business versus, hey, I can make you a loan or I can take your deposits? So that strategy does not work because anybody can take loans and almost any bank can take loans, make loans and take deposits. So you've got to differentiate yourself in a different way. And one of the ways we do that is obviously by getting to know our clients and our prospects and then trying to ask enough questions to find out what they need. You know, where are the shortfalls? Where are the challenges? What is keeping them up? And then see if we can find solutions that that can help them, like I say, grow their business.
And Jordan, I wanted to go a bit deeper on this point of asking questions. How do you typically prepare for these conversations? Do you prepare systematically, or is it just kind of a feel thing at this point?
Well, no, we have a very systematic approach to how we prepare. So one, if I'm going to go out and meet with you, I first want to understand what business you're in. You know, where are you starting from? I want to understand your industry. I want to understand your competition. I want to understand your supply chain and potentially anything else that I can uncover about your business. If you're, like I said, if you're a middle market business and you have $20 to $500 million in revenue, I'm going to have my capital markets group give me a summary of your business. So if you're in media, if you're in manufacturing, if you're in engineering, whatever the specifics of your business are, I'm going to get data about that, and I'm going to study that data. From that data, I'm going to try to understand how you fit within that market so that I can get specific about asking you questions about things that are relevant to you and not just general questions. So that's typically how we prepare. We do a lot of pre-call planning before we go meet with a prospect. We want to certainly take industry information to the prospect. We want to ask insightful questions, and we want to see if there's something that sparks interest from that prospect. Is there something that they're missing, something they're not doing well, something that their current financial provider is not giving them? And so that's how we're going to approach that business. Hmm. That make sense?
Absolutely. And you mentioned something about pre-call planning. What does that look like?
Yeah, so a pre-call planning is going to be, I've got a prospect, say they're a restaurant owner, and they maybe have multiple restaurants. And so what I want to know is, where the restaurants are located, what are their growth plans for those restaurants, where do they fit in that whole scheme? You know, are they fast casual? Are they a high-end restaurant? What's their strategy around improving their client experience? And so, and then in doing the pre-call planning, this is me and my team brainstorming, what would be the kinds of questions that we would want to ask this client about their business that would offer maybe some pain points that they might be having. Maybe there's some things that they haven't thought of. Maybe they're buying certain types of goods in quantity. Maybe it's milk. Maybe it's cheese or something like that. A commodity that they're buying in large bulks that we might be able to help them lock in those prices. Something that they may not have thought about. So rather than I can finance your business, I can give you a working line of capital, or if you're planning on building a building, I can help you finance. I'm going to try to find a large expenditure of theirs and see how in tune they might be to that, and to see if there's a way that we could help them lower the cost of that expenditure. That might be the goal of a pre-call plan. It may be, a goal might be, if we've already got a customer and they're already in our book of business and we're trying to go deeper, what's the next step? What things are they doing with their employees to help them grow their employee base to make their employees more loyal? I've got a number of different services that I can help them with to educate their employees to be better financial stewards of their money so that they're in better shape so they're working for the company and not stealing the company's time by solving their financial issues at work. So there are a number of things. It might be their 401k. It might be offering membership services to their employees to help them bank. We've got a number of classes that we can help improve their credit, help them improve their ability for home ownership, or help make them better employees. Basically, there are benefits to the company that are pretty much free for both the employers and the company. So I'm going to dig. So we're going to find the areas that we can dig into, and then we're going to try to have a real robust conversation about that. The other thing about the pre-call plan is that we're going to decide then who goes on the call. So So we don't want to take the whole clown car out. This is going, we're just going to meet with the CFO or the CEO of the company. We don't need to take 10 people out there from the Fifth Third Bank. Yeah. We're going to decide who's going to call and who's going to lead the conversation. And then we want to understand, we want to have a goal for the call. So what's the goal for the call? And that way we can evaluate the call afterward and say, do we meet our goal? What are the next steps? So we've got a point of reference.
And in these calls, let's say it's one of the first times you're chatting with somebody, a potential client. Are you trying to land them and close a deal immediately, or are you still in the relationship building stage?
Normally, when you get the opportunity to make that first call, you've really got to demonstrate some value. It's very unlikely that you're going to gain a commitment from a customer. I mean, primarily because I haven't seen their financial statements.
Right.
I might know their business and I might understand their business, but I haven't seen their financials. I don't know where their cash flow issues. I don't know where their pain points are. I don't know what the terms of their current bank has for them. So I don't know even if they would even fit the box of customer that I want. I know that the industry they like, I'll probably check that. I probably know their name. I probably check some references around that. I want to deal with credible people. But typically those first calls are very important because you need to go out and you have to have a value statement. You need to be out front and demonstrate that you've got some expertise and that you can help them. So you need to be able to convince them pretty quickly that you've got expertise and you've got tools to help them. Otherwise, why would they even want to have a call with you? So once you've demonstrated that.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. In the last 100 years, we've seen financial markets swing, new currencies come and go, decades of savings lost in days, all showing that a retirement plan without a guarantee, quite simply, isn't enough. So more than a retirement plan, TIAA makes you a retirement promise, a promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life, a promise that pays off. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
Hi, I'm Tomer Korn, LinkedIn's Chief Product Officer. On my podcast, Building One, we dive deep into what it takes to build great products. Recently, we had Zach Perret, the CEO of Plaid, and he shared about his struggles building a financial app for consumers and how he was able to turn it all around with a critical pivot. Take a listen.
I personally couldn't resonate as much with the consumer set that we were trying to reach. I just didn't have that level of empathy. When we made the shift to building a B2B product, though, I was building the product that I wanted. My co-founder and I were creating the product that we wanted ourselves, and we had so much empathy for what that product was.
Such a great insight.
You know, in that sense, we got lucky because we were creating a thing for ourselves. And then the people that we were talking to also had the same problems we did. They were fintech developers. We'd been a fintech developer. We'd been trying to build a fintech product for a year. And so we had such deep empathy. We had such a clear ability to.
If you want to hear more of Zach Perret's story and the lessons that follow, listen and subscribe to my podcast, Building One.
Then you can go out and find out more information about the company. You can ask for permission to dig deeper, to ask more questions. And, you know, if those conversations go smoothly, then you typically get permission to get to the next step. Ultimately, the goal is to get the financial statements, take a look, and then at some point in time, maybe you get to proposal stage that you're going to propose something for this potential customer that hopefully that improves their business.
Right. Hey, I like what you said there because we need permission in order to get deeper in these relationships. And I think a lot of times people make the mistake early on in the relationship of trying to close too early. And I think the analogy of a relationship, a dating relationship, is pretty apt in this situation. If you go on a date with somebody and first date you ask them to marry you, that's a bit much. And so it's really important to understand the micro negotiations within the big overall negotiation, because in that first conversation, you're not trying to close them on the big deal totally. What you're trying to do, that a successful negotiation in this realm would be a next call. Like you said, permission, right. And that's where we're getting at.
Absolutely, and this is most of these calls that we make in both the high net worth space, both in asset management space as well as in the middle market banking space, are long-term proposition. They don't happen overnight. I mean, every now and then you find somebody that's got a big need right away, and you might have start working towards a solution. They might give you permission to work on something, but that's rare. Normally, it's a series of dates and a series of back and forth questions, them getting to know you and your capabilities, and you getting to know them and their needs, and then understanding their needs and before you even start trying to pitch solutions. I mean, so you don't want to go and just uncover something and then offer a solution. Oh, I got the perfect product for you. You know, I mean, our business and our job really is, I want to be that, ultimately, when I get a relationship, I want to be that first call. I want that client, that prospect, that to think about me when they have any kind of financial related need. They might be thinking about selling the business. They might be thinking about monetizing their asset, taking a dividend out, doing an ESOP with their employees, or even buying a new building, whatever they're thinking about. I want them to think, boy, that Jordan Miller, he's a good guy. I think I can call him about this. He seems to have a good grasp on our company and what we're trying to do. So I think he's somebody that I would trust to handle our transaction. So,
and you said you go into these some of these bigger meetings with a team beforehand. I'm talking even weeks, months beforehand. What type of training do you do with them to help them prepare to navigate these difficult conversations?
Yeah. So very first thing is, you know, they're bankers. They're from our industry, so they've had extensive training. Most of our folks have had extensive training in either wealth and asset management areas, or they've had extensive training in credit if they're a relationship manager for a commercial. They've had extensive training in cash management and treasury services that we offer. So they've got all the basic kind of training around the types of services that we can offer and what can move the needle with a client. The thing that we focus on a lot and the things that we've had to focus on are the soft skills, the relationship building skills, how to have the conversation skills, how to ask probing questions, how to gain that permission to get into a client and to ask deeper questions, that high, what we call high gain questions, questions that get the customer or the prospect talking, open-ended questions that the customer might reply something like, gee, I haven't thought about that. Well, that's a very interesting question. So when you've asked the customer a question or a prospect a question and they come back with, oh, nobody's asked me that before. I really haven't really thought about that. Let me think. And probing questions to get them to think, to get them to offer their insights, because it's really about them. It's not so much about us. We're just trying to uncover those hidden needs, and we can't do that by making assumptions. We need to hear from them what's on their mind, what their challenges are, what's happening in their business, what are the things that are keeping them up versus I got a product or I got a solution for that. So we don't even go to product, solution, any of that until we gain a full understanding of what the client is experiencing. And a lot of times we hear things are working well and things are great. And in those cases, it's just permission. Well, can we keep talking to you? You know, maybe we can check in again in 3 or 4 months. Maybe I'll invite them to an event or something to keep that relationship going. Because everybody doesn't wake up every morning, contrary to what we bankers think, and think about, oh, gee, I need to go find a new bank you know, and wait for me to call them. So that's just not the case. So that whole training that we use is geared toward conversations, is geared toward finding pain points, is geared towards overcoming objections that the customers might have. It's geared toward gaining permission to get to the next step. It's geared toward finding out about the customer's business, and is geared toward getting them to do the talking. So right. That we do a number of different types of training around that.
This is brilliant. And what's really interesting about what you did not say is that it's not geared toward proving your point or letting them know that you are right. It's focused more on curiosity. And I know that's really difficult sometimes, especially for analytical people. People in the financial services industry are analytical when it comes to numbers. And for me, with my background in law, we're really analytical when it comes to the law and policy and trying to figure out who's right and who's wrong. And so with people with that highly analytical background, sometimes it's difficult to make that transition to utilize the soft skills, because in your industry, it might be, this is math. I'm right. Why don't you see this? But that's really not what it takes to build relationships and get that permission. You need to focus on the people and their needs.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. So most of our, you know, after they're a proven banker and they've got all the kind of right kind of skills, credit, analytical skills, and can dissect customer cash flows and dissect customer balance sheets and understand all the EBITDA and all the multiples and understand the industry that the prospect is focused on, then it's really, it really then becomes, how do you probe to get the right information?
Right.
And listen enough and reframe, which is sometimes very hard to do, of saying, oh, I got a solution for that. Oh, that's a problem here. Have you tried this? You know, and you really have to hold back from offering too much advice too early on, because you haven't really uncovered the full issues that the client's facing.
Right.
And it might take a series of conversations to get that out of them.
Absolutely. And let's say hypothetically, even if you are right and you are right in that situation with a solution, you didn't have permission to give it at that point.
That's right. Yeah, you don't have permission to give it. And in a lot of cases, it may be something that they already know. And again, sometimes when you're too quick to give a solution, they'll just go right back to their bank that they're currently banking with and say, hey, I was talking to the Fifth Third Bank and they said they can do this. And the bank goes, oh, well, we can do that too. And, you know, that happens a lot. So you have to be, you know, you want to add value to conversations and relationships. But at the same time, you don't want to give them all of your, you don't want to give them all of the solutions before you get to know them and really understand them and understand them in what context they might need to put those solutions to work.
Before you go, before we end up this part of the interview, I wanted to ask you, if you could challenge our audience to do one thing in the very next week to become a better negotiator, what would it be?
I would say, the one thing that I would do if I wanted to be a better negotiator would be to understand the other position. I already know my position. I know what I can do. I understand the value I can bring. I understand my company standpoint. I understand our credit environment and culture and all those good things. But what I want to do is I want to understand the other side. I want to understand the issues they're facing, what's their frame of mind, what their reference is. Where are they coming from? Why did they, what got them to the point where they probably think that way? If they're in a certain sector of industry, you know, let's not fool ourselves. Most industries, including banks, have many of the same philosophies. And that's true for if you're a retailer or if you're an engineering firm or if you're an accounting firm or any kind of professional services firm. There are ways that people go to market and ways to think. So I want to understand that so I can have that edge and I can, you know, anticipate what they might say. I'm still going to listen. I'm still going to hear them. I still want to hear them talk, but I want to get that out of them. And I want to be the guy that understands their position from their point of view so that I've got a framework of reference from how I would respond to that from my point of view.
Congratulations, you've just joined an elite club. By listening to a full episode, you're now officially on the Negotiate Anything team. So welcome aboard. What most team members do is they subscribe to the podcast because that allows them to automatically get the latest episodes of the show. The best things in life lie on the other side of difficult conversations. Keep learning, keep practicing, and keep getting better. Your relationships will improve, your career will soar, and you'll have the confidence you need to get the most out of these crucial conversations. Again, thank you for joining the team. We're excited to have you, and I will see you in the next episode. I'll catch you later.